This is Eric Krakauer from BN Sports, and you're listening to the Seleção Podcast.
Bem jogado por Simão, a passar por dois adversários, Simão, a tentar oferecer o gol a Figo, e a bola é gol! O golo da Figo!
Rui Costa vai, acreditou, vai tirar para o golo, atira, golo!
And we welcome you to episode number 16 of the Seleção Podcast, a proud partner of Portugal.net. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you so much for listening and supporting this podcast. Folks, it is so good to be back and talking about the Seleção once again. And, you know, we had a bit of an extended break since December after the Euro 2020 draws and the Nations League draws at the beginning of December. But qualifiers are just 1 week away, beginning on March the 22nd against Ukraine, that in at the Stade de Luz, and then 3 days later, also at the Stade de Luz, against Serbia. We are just pumped to be back in the huge, spared no expense studios of the Seleção podcast here in Northern California. We have so much to get to on episode number 16 of the Seleção podcast. We are going to be joined by Eric Krakauer of BN Sports. He'll join us a little bit later to review the 25-man roster that Fran Sunch selected on Friday for the upcoming Euro 2020 qualifiers. We'll also take a look back at Cristiano Ronaldo, Mr. Champions League to you folks, as you know, we take a look back and talk about his hat trick performance against Atletico Madrid in Turin to get Juve into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. After that interview, we get to you, our awesome listeners and our awesome supporters, as I put out a few questions following Friday's roster announcement. As we get to hear from you, it's always something that I like to get feedback from the fans who support us so very well, and you know, love the interaction between you guys who listen and subscribe and you know, interact with us on social media. So we'll get to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter responses after our interview with Eric Krakauer. But first things first, I want to take you a little bit behind the curtain, if you will, as since our last episode in December, when we talked about the draws for both the Nations League and Euro 2020 with Nathan Motes, the show, without you guys knowing at the time, was going through a lot of changes. So, you know, I posted a lot of the updates that were happening on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. But now that we're back up and running and, you know, and we're out to you guys and you guys can listen to the sound of my voice, this is a much easier way of letting you guys know, you know, what the latest is with the show and what we've been doing. So first and foremost, you know, I've thanked him a few times now, but I will continue to thank him because I just want to give a big thank you to, O Padrinho. The godfather of Portuguese coverage in the English language, Tom Cundert and Portugal.net for our partnership with them. You know, his belief in this podcast and his distribution of this podcast on his website has been huge for us in the last few months. So we really thank Tom for that. You know, I got in contact with Tom earlier this week, just letting him know that, like, I'm excited to get back into the studio. I'm excited to start churning out podcasts again. And Tom was excited to see what we have in store for all of our listeners and all the supporters of the Seleção and the supporters of Portugal.net and the Seleção podcast in 2019. So we're really, really excited about that. And with that excitement comes a lot of new stuff. So I'm very happy to announce that, and I announced this on social media, I believe I announced it on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, but we now have our own website, SeleçãoPod.com, and I'm excited about it. I've been working really hard on it. but what it is just another platform, another place where you, as a fan of this wonderful team that we support, can go to and get some information. We have all of our episodes there. We have information like the current 25-man roster that Fernando Santos announced this morning. We have upcoming fixtures, Portugal's current FIFA rankings, links to the games this coming week. I don't know if those games have sold out yet, but if they haven't, we've got links to those tickets. If you happen to be in Portugal, if you happen to be in Lisboa, go ahead and hit up SeleçãoPod.com. Head to Team Info and go ahead and find the links to the tickets, and by all means, buy yourself a few. So, so we have that. Plus, there's an About Me page about me, Danny Pinto, your host. There's a real nice picture of me in my 2010 World Cup Portugal jersey. I have my Portugal scarf proudly over my head. And you'll see that I'm also devastatingly handsome. So to all our female listeners out there, I am extremely sorry that you're gonna miss out because I'm off the market. So so as we move on to website stuff, at the top of each section of the site are the icons and the links to our social media platforms and all of our new, and I stress new, podcast platforms as well. So going back to December, once we finished our last show of 2018, I knew that we had a little bit of time to retool and enhance, for a lack of a better term, the Seleção brand. And what I was hoping was I could find a way to expand our reach on various podcasting platforms. So I made the decision to change hosting sites. We were with podcasts.com, and I'll be forever grateful to them because they were the initial way that this podcast got out to all of you guys. And I will forever be grateful to them. But what I wanted was I wanted to see if I can streamline that process, get out to more and more platforms, and try to do so without, you know, killing myself budget-wise. Because I make no money off of this. It is a passion project, but you know, the time and equipment and stuff does at times can get costly. So if I could have found another platform that was more streamlined than the one I was using, I was definitely going to jump all over it. So I think I was the last person on Earth that hadn't heard about Anchor as a hosting site. They have an amazing library of podcasts that they have that they're hosting. But they are now our new hosting site. But with that decision to change hosting sites, I pretty much had to start all over with getting the show back on, you know, Apple Podcasts. Pretty much like if you're listening to this now and I don't know how you would have if you were thinking that you were still using your old link, those old links are gone. So I had to start from square one once again. I think it's going to be a great decision for the show in the long run because the show is now newly accessible and available on so many new platforms. So as I mentioned before, you can listen to us in a variety of ways. Obviously, SeleçãoPod.com/episodes. We've also created a banner on our website and a link to Portugal.net. It'll take you straight to the podcast page on Portugal.net. So all you have to do is just click on Portugal.net on the site, and it'll take you right to the podcast page on Tom's site. But we are now proudly available on the following platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. So three of those were not an option for us before, but once we made the change in hosting sites, we now have Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher on board as ways that you can listen to the Seleção podcast. So all of the links to the new platforms, and they're all new links as well, all of those links are at the top of our website. Just find the platform that you want to go ahead and use, and then you'll never miss an episode, and you should never miss an episode. But, you know, if you missed a couple, and I know it's sports and it's timely, but if you, you know, have some time to kill, go ahead. Just listen to episode 11 is a good one. Hello, Hammer. We also have a YouTube channel, and before anyone gets excited about a YouTube channel, it's pretty much the past 15 episodes with the new show logo in the background. There is no video component yet, but I figured, hey, you know what the heck, it's free to create, and it's just another way of getting the show out there. So in due time, we'll hopefully have some sort of video component for the podcast, but that is, I think, a few months away, if that. But yeah, you can find us on YouTube as well, and just go ahead and click the link on YouTube. And if for whatever reason you hit the site and you don't see the platform that you're usually on, or you just for any podcast platform, just search the Seleção podcast. Write it all out. And make sure you include the Seleção podcast, and I would say the majority of podcasting platforms that are out there, you will find that we are available to you, and we're just super excited. So there are links to everything. We have a brand new logo, as I mentioned. Really happy about how that turned out. But everything, we have links to everything on the new site, SeleçãoPod.com. Please let me know what you think about the site. And again, please be kind, because I am not a site builder. I just kind of move stuff around and see if it works. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty, red and green. Oh, it's Portugal. It's great. That'll work. But yeah, any ideas on how we can enhance the site, or if something's wrong with the site, you can't access anything, just click on the email icon at the top of the page, and just go ahead and send us your thoughts or your constructive criticism at seleçãopod@gmail.com. So that was a lot to go behind the curtain, but I'm just real excited about all the new ways we can get the show out to all of you. And a way that we can enhance our product. And honestly, guys, it's due to the great response that we've received ever since we started this thing back in May of 2018. This is my passion project, but what keeps me going and what keeps me wanting to do this more and make it bigger and bigger is the fact that there are others out there with the same passion and that I've interacted with, and that just have that love for the Seleção. It is my number one team in all the world. And the fact that there are so many of us out there, so many of us who need an English outlet podcasting-wise, and there are others as well that I'm happy to be in this podcasting universe with, the fact that there's so much passion out there for the Seleção just keeps me going, and I want to make sure that our product is as enhanced and as streamlined as it could possibly be, so that we give you guys the best product possible. So again, thank you for letting me kind of indulge there, but again, I'm just so excited about where we're going with the show and the response that we've had, and the support that we've had. So quick reminder, Eric Krakauer will be joining us to talk about the 25-man roster plus Cristiano Ronaldo's exploits in Turin against Atletico Madrid. But first, let me give you guys my thoughts on Fernando Santos' 25-man roster. That announcement was made Friday afternoon in Lisboa, in the morning in the eastern part of the United States and Canada, in the real early morning here on the West Coast in Northern California. I'll give you the rundown of the 25-man roster first. As in goal, three keepers selected: Rui Patrice, Bet, and José Sá. José Sá looking for his first cap with the Seleção. On the defensive side, we have Pep, José Font, Rafael Guerreiro, João Cancelo, Mário Rui, Nelson Smith, and Ruben Dias. In the midfield, we have João Moutinho, William Carvalho, João Mário, Daniel Pereira, Pizzi, Bruno Fernandes, and Ruben Neves. And at the forwards, we have Bernard Silva, André Silva, Rafa Silva, Gonçalo Guedes, Diogo Jota, João Félix, Diego Souza, and the returning captain, Cristiano Ronaldo. First things first. The goalkeeping situation is kind of stagnant a little bit. Obviously, it's good to have the situation that we have with Rui Patrice, as he'll be our number one, and looks like he'll be our number one for a long time coming. Bet, he's 36 years old, but you know, applying his trade in Turkey nowadays, with the fact that Anthony Lopes has voluntarily taken himself out of selection for the Seleção. We've got some options coming up the ranks, but still not a clear number three, for a lack of a better term, if we now know that Bet is our clear number two. José Sá, he gets the call. You know, he's playing in Greece at Olympiakos, and he gets an opportunity. Just to get some first team work in. The experience of being with the national team, even though you may not play on the field when it comes to Ukraine or Serbia. But just getting more experience with the Fernando Santos and having a good showing in practices and in training could leave a lasting impression. So we'll see what happens with him there. In terms of the defense, I would say there was maybe one surprise there with Nelson Smith. He's having a decent season with Barca. There were a few other options there that could have been chosen, and we'll go over those in just a moment. But pretty much status quo as it comes to the defense. I would assume that Pep is going to be starting at center back. The question is, will Fernando Santos go with Ruben Dias or with José Font as his partner? And then I would suspect that it'll be Rafael Guerreiro on the left. And João Cancelo, who's having just an outstanding season with Juve, on the right. The midfield gets a little interesting, as you know, we could go 4-4-2, we could go 4-3-3. So there's plenty of quality here. The one thing that is not questionable, but just curious, is the selection of three defensive midfielders. And you'll hear in the interview, I call them central defenders, but you know, the defensive midfielders, William Carvalho, Ruben Neves, and Daniel Pereira. For me, at first I questioned why you would have three defensive midfielders, but if you're looking at the defense that we've chosen, and specifically José Font, Ruben Dias, and Pep, that's really only leaving you three central defenders. So while Daniel Pereira has not played in the center of the defense for Fernando Santos as a starter, I think of the three there, he can clearly be. I think going forward, and I mentioned this in a tweet earlier in the day, I'm much more comfortable having Daniel Pereira be our quote unquote number four center back than having Luis Net or a young kid coming up just for now. You have Fech, who is just starting his career with Benfica. You know, there's a few other young up and coming center backs, but there hasn't been one other than Ruben Dias who you can see has cemented himself as an option at center back for years to come. So it'll be interesting to see what Fernand Sanchez does there. But again, João Moutinho I could see starting. Me personally, I would have Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Neves, and William Carvalho if you're going 4-3-3. Those would be my three there. If you're going 4-4-2, it does get a little bit interesting. And as we go to the forwards, you know, and Eric and I will talk about it a little bit in the interview. Bernard Silva is kind of like he's kind of like in no man's land. We saw how he played on the wing for the Seleção during the World Cup. Wasn't great. Then just came alive in the second half of the Uruguay game, playing in a central position. I think I would much rather have Bernard Silva playing in the center, but I don't know how you keep Bruno Fernandes off the field. He's just been playing so well. So if we're going to go 4-3-3, again, I mentioned Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Neves, and William Carvalho in the midfield. I would love to see Cristiano Ronaldo, Bernard Silva, and then, you know, throw up one of the young kids. You know, we talk about it later. Diogo Jota, João Félix, Diego Souza. You know what you have in André Silva. You know what you have with Gonçalo Guedes. You know that there's not a lot of mystery there. You could also, if you want to go 4-4-2, you can have Cristiano Ronaldo and one of the young guys up top. You could throw Rafa Silva on one wing, Bernard Silva on the other, and then have William Carvalho and Bruno Fernandes in the middle, or Ruben Neves and Bruno Fernandes. A lot of options in this squad, and it's good because what I'll tell you right now is that we're at a point where there are some names and recognizable names that are being left behind in these selections. For instance, some of the younger options coming up the ranks in Diogo Dalot and Ruben Vinagre, both defenders who, you know, you could argue that maybe they should have gotten a call over a guy like Nelson Smith. Ricardo Pereira at Leicester, he's having a very nice season. He could have got the call over Nelson Smith. If we go to France, the trio in Monaco, Gelson Martins, Ronny Lopes, and Adrian Silva. You can make a case for all three of them to have made the 25-man roster. To me, especially Ronny Lopes, now that he's healthy, his run with the national team during the Nations League was cut short because of injury. I'm jonesing to see this kid play for the Seleção, and it'll just give us more and more firepower. Another kid, Rafael Leão, playing in Lille, playing with José Font. If you go to Germany, Renat Sanche playing at Bayern, no call up. Cedric Suárez at Inter in Italy, no call up. Bruno Alves at Parma, no call up. We go to Turkey, Ricardo Quaresma, no call up. Daniel Caris in Spain at Sevilla. Kevin Rodriguez, who got called up during the Nations League, playing at Sociedad, he didn't get called up. And there's more depth out there that I didn't name. We are in a very, very good spot right now. I think Fernando Sanchez even mentioned if it was solely based on talent, we've got 40, 50 players that he could call upon. But obviously he wants to build and gel the team to his liking, and you can only take 25 at a time. The forwards will be interesting, and I hope Fernand Sanchez goes with one of the young guys. Me personally, I think that the Premier League is the top league in all of Europe, and to see a guy like Diogo Jota have success in the Premier League, that excites me. So I would love to see him. I would love to see him play alongside Cristiano Ronaldo in these two games. I love João Félix. Fernando Sanches, if you guys saw the announcement, he went old school. He went João Félix. when he announced it. So I just thought that was cool. But he has been the talk of the town, the talk of the league, since Bruno Lage has taken over at Benfica. He's 19 years old, so I'm going to temper my expectations on him quite a bit. Would love to see him get some run coming on as a substitution. Hopefully in a situation that matters. It's good to get experience no matter what, but you know, maybe it's a one-nil game, or maybe it's tied at two and you need a little bit of firepower. Would love to see how he works in the big stage of European qualification. So that is my look at the Slesan. I think overall, Flan Sunch, he's put a real interesting team together. A lot of inexperience up top. A lot of two very young players in Jota and Felix. A journeyman type selection in terms of Diego Souza being a naturalized Portuguese from Brazil. He's 29, but you know he's got great height. I think he's like 6'3". He's got about a dozen goals, I think. Let me take a look at my stats here. But he by far is, I think, the most interesting, or maybe interesting is not the right word, but I don't know. I just, there's something about his selection that I know, maybe rubbed some people the wrong way, or maybe, you know, scratching their head a little bit, but I mean, he's scored 18 goals so far this season in all competitions, and he's 6'3". I mean, size, you can't really teach size. So if he's got that frame, might be interesting to see him use it. Again, maybe in a dead ball situation where we need something, he comes on in the last 10-15 minutes and maybe makes a difference. So be very interesting to see what happens up top. But I think overall, there's just a lot that Flan Sunch can do with this roster, and I know that he's going to make it in his image, but the options are there, and that's to me very, very exciting. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to our interview with BN Sports Eric Krakauer. So you've heard my thoughts on the selections of Flan Sunch for the upcoming qualifiers for Euro 2020. As we are the defending champions of the tournament, the defending champions of Europe. And I am very happy to have on the line right now one of the guests that came on at the early stages of the podcast. He's given us some time today, and things have changed for this man since he last joined us, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But we have Eric Krakauer of BN Sports. You can follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Krakauer. Eric, first of all, parabéns, man. Congratulations on the new addition to the family.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I love my new TV. It's great. I mean, get to watch a lot of soccer on it. Unless you're talking about my daughter, I'm very happy about that too, even though she's kept me awake for the better part of 2 weeks, which is something I'm getting used to. And now I've got a better understanding of why sleep deprivation is such an effective way of torturing people.
Well, either way, a baby and a new television come with surround sound, so you're set, buddy.
yeah, that is correct. That is correct. I concur.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, man, and again, congratulations on the new baby and everything doing well with mom and baby and of course the new dad.
Yeah, everybody's great. Mom's an absolute warrior. I hope my daughter Stella takes after mommy because she's got all the good qualities, as Ray Hudson said on the Extra when Stella was born, that hopefully it's the mom's gene pool and not mine. So I hope he's correct.
You know what, but before we get started with the song, I mean, that must have been really cool to have your colleagues and everything kind of give you a shout out, especially on, you know, one of the greatest days of your life.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I mean, I'm very fortunate not only to do something that I truly love on a daily basis, but I also get to work with some exceptional people. Kevin Egan has become a close friend of mine, and I knew he was going to post a picture of both me and my daughter, but I had no idea that he was going to dedicate a couple of minutes at the end of the show to it. And the fact that Ray Hudson, who is, you know, for some, including me, the very best of color commentators that this game has to offer in the English language, the fact that the two of them were introducing Stella to the world and congratulating us was something I will never forget, and I'm very grateful for.
We're talking with Eric Krakauer of BN Sports. Nice enough to join us on episode number 16 of the Celeson podcast. So Eric, let's get to the pitch. Let's get to the field. And before we talk about the announcement that Fran Sunch had early Friday morning for us, Friday afternoon in Lisbon, the 25-man roster for the upcoming qualifiers, let's head back to Turin earlier this week and the absolute masterclass that Cristiano Ronaldo put on against Atletico. What were your thoughts? I mean, it's hyperbole personified, but I mean, what were your thoughts on seeing that kind of performance on that stage by one of the greatest of all time?
Well, look, I think that I wasn't necessarily surprised just because he has shown up time and time again. The most recent before this was when he scored a hat-trick against Spain in the World Cup, and there was a little bit of help from the goalkeeper, David De Gea, who, you know, committed a howler. I believe it was in the second goal that Cristiano Ronaldo scored. But we've gotten used to this. One of the most incredible things about Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi is that they have normalized the absolute most fantastic performances in soccer, because they just do it week in and week out. Having said that, going into this game, the fact that Cristiano had only scored one goal in six Champions League matches, the tournament where he does his very best, where he shines the brightest, take away Euro 2016 when he won us our only major senior trophy, that's his tournament. And the fact that he started so slowly was certainly something to be concerned about, especially if you are Max Allegri, the manager of Juve. But when you are such a potent team like Juve is, and you have that sort of totemic player, a player who's been there and done that, I don't think it can catch you by surprise that he is able to put on the display that he did. It was just stupefying once again.
And you know, Eric, what is a performance like that say about, you know, not only, I mean, going up against Atletico, I mean, Simeone is one of the best coaches in the entire world. Atletico is no slouch. They're one of the best teams in Europe. But being down 0-2, all the naysayers, and there were some saying that this move to Italy was the wrong decision, that perhaps he's lost a step. I mean, he scored 19 goals in the league, which is second, only behind by one. He's tied for the league lead in assists with 8. He scored 27 goals overall in all comps. I mean, this performance pretty much is the icing on the cake of a move that, to me, after all this, has been 100% justified.
Yeah, look, I don't think the move was a mistake in any sense. Full disclosure, when he did make this move, one of the things that I said was that Juve doesn't play the kind of soccer that translates into incredible numbers for Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, he's seemingly proving me wrong because of exactly the numbers that you've just uttered just now. But even before this second leg against Atletico Madrid, there were reports in the Italian media that Cristiano Ronaldo had asked his teammates to play more like Real Madrid. And what he meant by that was that he wanted the team to be more adventurous, more attack-minded. Just before they beat Atletico, about a week before, they played Napoli in Serie A. And Napoli went a man down very early on. And even then, although Juventus came out with his 3 points, Napoli was the superior team. And the reason for that was because Juventus were just content sitting back and hitting on the counter. And when I saw that against Napoli, I was concerned that they weren't going to have what was needed against Atletico Madrid. And I actually had predicted even before the first leg that Atletico Madrid was going to go through, because Diego Simeone is so effective at playing against teams that aren't particularly fluid. And that was my concern about Cristiano going to Juventus. The lack of fluidity, especially on the in the attacking third for Juventus, I thought would take a toll on his numbers. That has not come to pass. He's doing extremely well. But the idea that Cristiano Ronaldo has lost a step, and perhaps he has if you think of pace, but holistically, if you look at his game, he has proven time and again that he can adapt to whatever changes his body is going through, to whatever tactical changes are being made around him. And he just always seems to be clutch. So any doubters out there, they've just been silenced so often, I don't know how they even have the gall to say anything negative anymore.
We're talking with Eric Krakauer of BN Sports. He's nice enough to join us on episode number 16 of the Celesson podcast, and we're so happy to be back talking Celesson when talking soccer and having all you guys listening and supporting the podcast. I am your host, Danny Pinto. Eric, let's go ahead and shift focus now over to the Celesson and Fernand Sanch earlier on Friday making the 25-man roster announcement. Obviously, the best announcement was that Ronaldo is back in the fold. But what did you think of the 25-man roster that Fernand Sanch has called up for these Euro qualifiers?
I think it's a solid call up. I'm excited that João Félix is getting his chance. I'm also very curious to see how Diego Souza comes into this team. Now, there's been a lot of clamoring about him not being Portuguese-born, and I think that's a lot of rubbish. I don't see anybody complaining about Deco, although there were some complaints at the time, and they're certainly not making a noise about Pep, who, for me, has been, along with Cristiano Ronaldo, the single most important player to this national team over the last decade. So I'm curious to see how the new players fit in, especially João Félix, because he is such an incredible talent. I'm sorry not to see Ronny Lopes in this call-up. It's no secret, or in fact, it's no surprise, I would say this, that Monaco is doing better, not only because Leonardo Jardim has returned to the club.
Absolutely.
But because Ronny Lopes is back from injury. When he does well, the club does well. And interestingly enough, another guy who could have warranted a call-up is Gelson Martins, who is also doing very well in the Principality. So other than that, I would say that this is a really good call-up with a lot of question marks about who is going to start. And for me, the biggest question marks insofar as X's and O's are concerned is whether Fernando Santos is finally going to employ Bernardo Silva in a more central position.
Yeah, it's interesting because in the midfield and with the forwards, I should say, you have Fernando Santos called up three central defenders in Carvalho and Preda, Daniel Preda and Ruben Neves. You know, there are some players that he could slot right into the middle with João Moutinho to play there as well. But I'm with you, Eric, on Bernard Silva. I mean, he's had such a tremendous campaign with Man City, but predominantly on the wing. We saw last summer in the World Cup that just wasn't his best spot as of right now with the Celesson, and you saw what happened when he moved into the middle in the second half of the Uruguay game. I'm looking at that as well as something to see, because I personally think he's at his best in the middle. But and as a Sportingista, you know this, Bruno Fernandes I think is ready, and for to not have him in that starting 11 with the form that he is in, I guess it's a good problem to have, Eric, at the end of the day. But right now, I don't know if I could bring Bernard Silva in at the expense of having Bruno Fernandes on the bench. What's your take on that?
Well, look, I think it's about who your preference is. I think you make a good point. Bruno Fernandes is in the form of his life, player of the month once again in Portugal. The only thing, other than perhaps Coates, the only thing that Sportingistas have to hold on to after what is proving to be another dismal, disappointing, you add the adjective and I'll agree with it as long as it's negative, a campaign for my for my Lions. But look, it all depends on the formation that Fernando Santos is going to go with. And given what we've seen from him since he's been the Portuguese selecionador, I think that Bruno Fernandes is going to start on the bench. You know, a player that I didn't mention that I would like to see get a nod up top is Diogo Jota. I think that he and Cristiano Ronaldo could actually form a pretty formidable tandem. And if you've seen him play for Wolverhampton and his understanding with Jimenez up top, I think it's something that can be replicated with the national team.
Yeah, he's the player that I think I would most want to see paired up in these first two games. Because we've seen what Ronaldo and Andres Silva can do up top. The experiment of Gonçalo Guedes up top with Ronaldo left a lot to be desired last summer in the World Cup. You now have three other options in João Félix, Diogo Jota, and Diogo Souza that, you know, they're intriguing. Each brings a little bit of, you know, a different kind of play to their position. But I think, and I know all the attention is on João Félix, but I almost went Portuguese there, Harry. but I think I think that's the pairing that I think I am most intrigued about, Diogo Jota and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, look, Diogo Jota, what's been so impressive about him at Wolverhampton is his attacking mobility and his decision-making. And Cristiano Ronaldo, as he becomes much more of a prototypical striker in terms of his positioning, and we've seen this over the last 4 or 5 years, he does better with somebody who runs the channels and opens up spaces for him. And I think Diogo Jota right now is the guy that can offer that better than anybody else. Andres Silva had a terrific start to La Liga this season, scoring seemingly every day, but he's slowed down recently. Yeah, Ben Yedder at Sevilla has stolen his place, and he's on fire, one of the top scorers in the Spanish league. I think Andres Silva is a little bit out of form, and so that creates, especially given what you said, Gonçalo Guedes not having proven an adept partner for Cristiano Ronaldo up top, that creates the perfect scenario for Diogo Jota to come in and really grab a spot in this 11. Again, Fernando Santos, not someone to start a brand new player who has just been brought into the Seleção, but I think he would be smart to do so in this case. And just going back to a point that you made about the central midfield and figuring out how to fit in Bernardo Silva. One of the things that I've liked about Fernando Santos recently is how he's catered the formation and the system to fitting in Ruben Neves as that pivot, that deep line playmaker with William Carvalho going further upfield. And one of the great benefits of William Carvalho having moved to Betis is that Quique Setién has moved him a little bit forward as well. He's not always that anchor man in front of the back four. Sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't. So he's actually blossomed more as a player at Betis. So Ruben Neves in the pivot, William Carvalho, and maybe Bernardo Silva next to him in a 4-3-3. I think that would look pretty good.
We're talking with Eric Krakauer of BN Sports. You can follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Krakauer. Eric, you mentioned that you like the roster. Obviously, there's a lot of youth, especially up top, unproven youth, and obviously we're excited to see what that youth can hopefully bring. But is this a Fernando Santos like classic constructed roster? Is he going to, in your opinion, still play and still design a Fernando Santos game plan, or do you think with the injection of youth, maybe he can maybe tinker or experiment a little bit?
Well, that's a very good question. A lot of the performances in the Nations League from Portugal left a lot to be desired. There were a couple of good games, in particular against Poland in the, I believe that was the first game against Poland and the first game against Italy. Those two were standouts. But other than that, they lacked real passing patterns. They lacked offensive endeavor. And you're never going to get the most exhilarating football with Fernando Santos. Even when he was in charge of the three big teams in Portugal, you didn't see much of that from him, even though they were in their times, especially FC Porto, where he had so much success, the best teams in the league. So I don't think you're going to see much difference between what we've seen during his tenure. I don't think he's afraid of trying new players, but if you're talking about tactical and systems, from a tactical and a systems perspective, I think we're going to see pretty much the same.
Finally, Eric, before we let you go, and we really appreciate your time on episode number 16 here, what is it, and you mentioned the Nations League, and obviously, Portugal had a great campaign in the four games. They're getting to the semifinals, playing host, a great advantage. Seeing the way they've played since the World Cup, seeing the roster constructed as of the announcement on Friday, and the opponents that they have in Ukraine and in Serbia coming up next week, what is it that you would like to see from the Seleção that you feel will get the results needed at home in Lisbon to get us off to a good start?
Well, the first thing is I'd like to see Bernardo Silva playing centrally. It's been a long time, in fact, since Deco last graced the pitches with the national team jersey, that we've had a creative catalyst in the offensive third of the field, in the middle, in that number 10 position. And I think Bernardo Silva has every possibility of offering just that. I think that will make a difference. You mentioned the game against Uruguay when he went centrally or played centrally in that second half, and it made a world of difference. I'd also like to see Fernando Santos starting to phase out José Font a little bit, and he's having a stellar season at Lille currently in second place in Ligue 1. But Ruben Dias, for me, has proven a very good center back, and I think he's earned his shot to be a starter on this team. I also, and this may be a little bit out of the blue, I'd like to see Rafael Guerreiro played in a different position. He's been playing mostly in the left midfield for Dortmund, and he's been very effective in that position. He's also looked pretty good centrally. Now, I know it's a jam-packed central midfield sector that we have, so he's not going to get an opportunity there. But I wouldn't mind seeing him on the left-hand side of an attacking trident. He is a player who's full of razzle-dazzle. He's full of confidence. He's got a creative spark to him. He's not afraid to take defenders on. I'd like to see him in a more attacking position.
You know, I was going to let you go, but then you brought up Rafael Guerreiro in that attacking role, and it's something that I've been talking about back and forth on Twitter for the last couple of weeks. Not a lot, but someone did bring it up, and my question to, or my response to that person was, I would rather take a healthy, in-form Rafael Guerreiro with the team that we currently have at left back than have any of the wings that we have in front of him. I'd rather keep him at left back than have Mario Rui play left back with Rafael Guerreiro playing in front. It's just, to me, that's my preference, because I think you get just more quality players. And I don't mean it to be a knock against Mario Rui, but Mario Rui, to me, still is one of the unproven players that Fernando Sanchez called up. And as much as I want him to succeed and give Fernando Sanchez the opportunity or the option to talk about, like what you said, bringing Rafael Guerreiro in a more attacking role, the jury's still out there. So I think that with the amount of talent that we still have in the midfield and on the wings, and in-form Rafael Guerreiro on the left side of the defense, I think is still the number one option there.
Yeah, listen, I can't argue against that. You know, Mario Rui has definitely shown his defensive vulnerabilities. There was a meme that was all the rage this season where Koulibaly actually pushes Mario Rui into position to try and defend against somebody. I don't remember exactly who it was. So there is that knock on him. But I think Mario Rui is a better player than a lot of people think he is. He's exceptional for Napoli, especially when they have the ball at their feet. I would like to add this really quickly, if I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
João Cancelo, who is a player that I had written off about a year ago because he was temperamental, more than a year ago, I'd say a year and a half ago, temperamental, a little bit lazy and rash on the defensive end, has absolutely proven me wrong. His time is in Juventus, or at Juventus, has turned him into a much better defender. I think that's because not only is he playing for a powerhouse of a team in Serie A, but also because he has heavyweights in Giorgio Chiellini and Bonucci back there, who are the kind of players who will not be afraid to pull your ears if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. In fact, Chiellini came out and said at the beginning of the season that Cancelo was a very exciting player, but he would have to defend a little bit better, improve his defensive side. And he, for me, also becomes a key player in this national team. And this is coming from somebody who's a big fan of Cedric Suarez. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate for the new Inter man that he didn't make this squad, especially given the fact that Nelson Smith was there. And while he's had some good performances for Barcelona this season, he's nowhere near a regular starter, and he does leave a lot to be desired on occasion.
Eric, I just can't thank you enough for coming on. I know that the schedule has changed in the last month or so, but let everyone know. Obviously, you're working on you're working at BN, but what are some of the matches, some of the games that you'll be calling in the next couple of weeks where we can catch you on BN Sports?
Well, there's a big one on Sunday. I'll be calling Valencia against Getafe. If you follow La Liga, Getafe is currently in fourth place with a very good shot of making the Champions League. Valencia, a really terrible start to the season. The team that has drawn the most games in La Liga, but now, given their recent run of form, within a shot of qualifying for the Champions League as well, if they can knock Getafe out of their slot. So that's going to be a really good one. And for any of your listeners who are not aware, BN Sports is now the proud home of the Copa Libertadores. So every week I call one or two games of the Copa Libertadores in a Sudamericana. It's a fantastic tournament. There are two fantastic tournaments. And this year it seems that the big teams are slipping up against the minnows. So definitely something for anybody who loves soccer to look out for.
He is Eric Krakauer. You can find him on Twitter at Eric Krakauer. That's E-R-I-C-K-R-A-K-A-U-E-R. Miwamik, thank you so much for coming on again. My best to your wonderful family, and can't wait to have you back soon.
Obrigado, Will. Anytime. Love being on.
Eric Krakauer, you are a good, good man. Make sure you get plenty of sleep, my man, because the newborn stuff is no joke. As a father of two young boys, you know, 1-4 and the other one just almost a year and a half. Those infant days, although they were great and they always smelled awesome and they were cute and just cooing and stuff like that. Yeah, man, I like sleeping. Sleeping's good. Both my boys, they sleep through the night. Thanks to my wife. And yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Absolutely. So, but again, give Eric a follow on Twitter. If you will, do me a favor, do that. He's just a great follow on Twitter, has a ton of insight, on the beautiful game. Let him know that you heard him on the podcast. Let him know that he did a great job, for us right here on episode number 16 at Eric Krakauer, E-R-I-C. K-R-A-K-A-U-E-R. Again, a big obrigado to Eric Krakauer for his time with us on this episode. Let's now turn our attention to you, the fans, as We sent out a series of questions following the 25-man selection that Fran Sunch put out earlier today or earlier Friday at the time of this recording. And the three questions were, number one, which of Fran Sunch call-ups are you most excited to see? Number two was, which player that wasn't selected should have been? And number three, who was the biggest question mark on this squad? So we'll start with the Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at SelectSonPod. And we go to Brian Capseda from San Jose, California. He writes in, the player he's most excited to see is João Félix. Who he thinks is a question mark? I got to be honest with you. His answer is a little puzzling to me. He says Pep. Pep is a question mark. I don't know. Maybe because he plays for Port again. Maybe Brian doesn't like him again. I don't know what Brian's feelings are on Pep before the move back to Port. But I'll disagree with him on Pep being a question mark at this point in time. Obviously, João Félix is the talk of the town, as I mentioned before the interview. He's the hottest prospect in a long time, and that's with Bruno Fernandes just, you know, setting the field on fire at Sporting as well. So good to have this youth coming up the ranks for this Seleção, no doubt about that. We go to Los Angeles, California, and Victor Faria. He mentions that it's João Félix again, 100%. Excited to see what he can do on this stage. In terms of who he thought could have been called up, he said he thinks that these were the best options available. And what he has a question mark on is the back line. He also wants to see what Rafa Silva can do now that he's hopefully healthy. And, of course, the partnership, as he mentioned, with the back line of Pep and Font. So that is our Instagram response. Let's go to Facebook. And you can please like our page and share our page, facebook.com/SelectSonPod. Let's go to Mark Anthony Souza of Sacramento, by way of Manteca, California. He writes in that João Félix is pairing up up top with Ronaldo. Could be fun to see. Diego Souza, although a beautiful last name, Mark. He thinks it's a little bit of a head scratcher. He thought that maybe Gelson Martins could have been selected. And of course, also on Facebook, we have guest number one, Michael Teixeira. First question, João Félix, of course. Man, this kid's popular, huh? What do you say, guys? He says, anyone who says otherwise needs to not be my friend. Well, all right. Well, maybe we're not going to be friends by the time I give you my answer to these questions. Number two, he says he would have liked to have seen Fech from Benfica chosen. We need to get some youth in the back. Excited to see Diogo Leite get some PT for Port next year to maybe add him to the bunch. And then the question mark at number three is Bet. He says he understands that Anthony Lopes is taking a break, but surely we have some better options. He understands that Bet is good for the locker room. But still a question mark there. So that is from our Facebook account, facebook.com/SelectSonPod. And finally, we go to Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at SelectSonPod, twitter.com/SelectSonPod. And we start with Norbert Dutra. Ashkinas is his handle, Asquinas. He is from Mississauga in Ontario, Canada. So hello to all of our Canadian fans out there. He says, you'll never guess who he's excited to watch. João Félix. He says, I'm guessing he comes off the subs bench for the last 20 minutes to give us some fresh legs. So far, no one is excited to see anybody but João Félix. We go to John Mello. You can follow John Mello at Mellow State of Mind. That's Mellow with a zero, not with an O. John, also from the Great White North, up in Vancouver, British Columbia. So, John, how you doing, bud? Who he's excited to see? He's excited to see Diego Souza because of his size, strength, and poaching abilities. The player who he thought could have been selected but was not was Gelson Martins due to his current form. And the question mark, he thinks, is Gonçalo Guedes. Aside from his last second strike in the Europa League knockout, he has been non-existent and coming off a sports hernia injury. So an interesting take there from John Mello from Vancouver. Let's see, we go to Dylan. Dylan also up in Canada. Just says Canada, though. Doesn't say exactly where. He's a secretive guy, apparently, Dylan. But Dylan says the biggest question is Diego Souza. Got to talk about that. And guess what? We're talking about it, man. And he's asking about João Félix's potential on this Seleção. It's hard to say, being as young as he is and, you know, the type of players that are already established with the team. But obviously the sky's the limit for this kid as long as he keeps his head straight, stays healthy, and continues to play the quality football that he's been playing this second half of the season. So, yeah, sky's the limit, obviously, for João Félix. We go to Giuseppe Alberto. You can follow Giuseppe at GiuseppeBerto7 on Twitter. Number one, what a surprise here, João Félix. He's excited to see him get a chance to play with the GOAT, and if so, how their chemistry will be. He's surprised that Gelson Martins was left off the squad, and again with the question mark of Gonçalo Guedes. I was shocked when he was picked, given his form this year and his well below average performance in the World Cup. So thank you guys for all your submissions, whether they be on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Obviously, we love talking to you guys and love interacting with you guys. And those were some great questions and answers rather to my questions. And you know, João Félix was the number one answer, almost like the only answer, with the exception of I think one or two votes for Diego Souza. But the obvious answer, folks, is Ronaldo. He's back. All right, there's no more wondering if he's going to come back or not. The king has returned, and it's awesome, and it's going to be great to have him back in the Seleção fold. We are obviously a more dangerous team when CR7 is on the field and manning the captain's armband for the Seleção. But yeah, I can't believe, and you know, it wasn't supposed to be a trick question, but you know, João Félix, you know, Diogo Souza, yeah, it's great. You know, dude, the king is back, and that's the most important thing. So, again, I can't thank you guys enough for coming back after our hiatus. I appreciate you guys checking out us on whatever platform you guys are listening to us on, whether it be through our new site, SeleçãoPod.com, through Tom's site, Portugal.net/podcasts. Again, make sure that you guys are going to SeleçãoPod.com. Make sure you guys are subscribing to all our new platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, YouTube. Again, there's no video out there yet, but you can listen to us on YouTube and just spread the word. Continue to spread the word on all our social media platforms. In terms of Apple Podcasts, please, if you can, give us a 5-star review. And if you can, leave a sentence or two, just giving us your approval. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it, and it helps the podcast immensely. A big thank you once again to Eric Krakauer of BN Sports for joining us on episode number 16 of the Seleção Podcast. Follow Eric on Twitter, ERICKRAKAUER on Twitter. Let him know you heard him right here on the Seleção Podcast and how great of a job he did. And I hope he gets some Z's, man, because that infant life, as I mentioned before, is no joke. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you so much for your support of the Seleção Podcast, a proud partner of Portugal.net. And Força Portugal!